The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is quad sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Neda. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a second, huh?
It's been so long. It's been 84 years. I'm so excited to be back. Happy fifth season. This is season
Happy
five.
Happy fifth season. It is season five. It's also the five-year anniversary of the first skating competition we watched together, which was 2018 Skate America.
Jesus Christ, that was a different lifetime.
It was. I think I can't even begin to define how poorly and weirdly everything aged.
Yeah.
And in some cases, well.
We've had several longtime listeners re-listening to old episodes and just adding me, like, can't believe Neda said so-and-so in 2019. I'm like, look, I was a different person.
Things yeah, I don't were know simpler. Her.
I've never met her. but I'm excited. Tell the people, how was your summer? What are you up to?
My summer was great. I moved. Last year I was living in two places. I picked one and moved there. So now I have my own apartment and I'm recording in it, which is cool. I have more time on my hands to watch skating and less time spent commuting between the two places I live, which is amazing. And I'm looking forward to maybe getting back into skating a few weeks. I just got an ankle tattoo, so I'm waiting for that to heal before I put my boots back on.
That is so real. I recently went back to roller skating. I went to a roller skating event with my friends. I got to put on my roller skates for the first time since I've gotten a bunch of tattoos on my legs. And I was like, oh, this looks cute. Like, it's a whole vibe with a bunch of tattoos.
Yeah, it's a great aesthetic. Ankle is... Can I just say, like, while we're here, ankle is, like, not a pussy place to get a tattoo. Like, I grew up thinking that ankle was where you got a tattoo if you were, like, dainty and you were a girl and you were like, oh, I don't want anyone to see it. That shit hurts.
No, they hurt.
It was one of the more painful ones.
It's a lot of bone down there. So, yeah, it does hurt. I have three pieces on, like, the back of my shin and my ankles, and they're not pleasant. They are dainty and they are very easy to hide, but they are not pleasant. This is a figure skating podcast.
It is a figure skating podcast. And so, in addition to getting some new tattoos since we last spoke, what else? Okay, so we never ended up doing a World Team Trophy episode. We are sorry. We missed you. Too much was happening in the world. It was like World Garbage Trophy.
I'm so we were sad tired the goofy and... Olympics were not goofy this time. So much
Yeah, they just
happening.
Weren't goofy. There were too many, like, weird allegations and scandals, and, like, it was not gonna feel goofy, and I think we were just extremely burnt out. So apologies that it didn't happen, but, like, I think you guys get it as figure skating fans. Yeah. Like, it's been a weird year. There's been a lot of milkshake ducks.
Yeah, there is a lot going on in terms of, you know, who's saying what and who's doing what. And I think we're just going to try to take everything in good faith, like, going into this new season. And unless someone, like, really, really, really out loud says or does some bullshit, we're just going to assume that people are, you know, people out there doing a sport, because otherwise we're going to lose our fucking minds.
Well, yeah. And, like, at the end of the day, this podcast, like, because it's been 5 years, like, I've been thinking a lot about, like, oh my gosh, like, it's, you know, what were we thinking when we started this?
What were we thinking?
But I think what we were thinking is, like, we love this sport and we love making jokes about it and talking about it and having cool conversations about it. And I think somewhere along the way, we, like, accidentally became sports journalists.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's not true, but I also feel like other people are doing an incredibly superior job of covering current events, and I now that I have like a day job and stuff, I can't do that at all. I can't even keep up with it. So I will just know things through osmosis, but mostly I just kind of want to talk about the competitions because that's what this is about. It's about us chatting about what happened on the ice.
Yeah, which is not to say that we're going to be like woefully ignorant or anything like that.
No, but we're not separating the skate from the skater, as it were.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. You know. If someone is garbage or their coaches are garbage or the situation that they train in is garbage, we are going to acknowledge that. But this is a comedy show and it's progressively harder to be doing that because the world is peek behind the curtain. We started this like before we started recording. I was like, I'm gonna try not to complain about the world, and here I am 5 minutes into this. I mean, we all live on the same planet and we know how hard things are, so let's just talk about the sport
until we can get the Space Olympics going. We are unfortunately all on Earth, so
yeah, I think I would still be rooting for Earth people in the Space Olympics. Like, I think
that's
have
problematic, Netta, because like you obviously are having this like planetary nationalist urge to just support people from your planet, regardless of like the merits of the thing.
Yeah. See,
you need to examine that.
I've lived here for 30 years, so I'm kind of feeling very personal about being of Earth. But like, if the people from fucking Saturn are extremely good at artistic swimming, I can maybe consider it.
Yeah, I think we just need to consider the small feds, like Mercury, you know? I mean, it's really hot there, and it's really hard for them to find a practice rink. Yeah. They have to go to the mall.
Oh, God. Should we talk about Skate America, the 2023?
Yes,
wait, the full name is, like, the Credit Union of Texas something or other.
The Credit Union of Earth, Skate America, Earth 2023.
Which was in Allen, Texas, and there were people online who were like, lol, what is everyone gonna do in fucking Allen, Texas? But I don't know, I thought the rink was gorgeous. There were a lot of mishaps in terms of like tech shit and everything, but I thought the arena itself was very pretty, and I enjoyed the event.
I can't speak for every city, right? But the big rinks I have been to, which are primarily like Skating Club of Boston and the rink where they had U.S. Nationals 2020, which it's fucking wild to say I was there because 2020 means a different thing now. But so that's like Greensboro. Like typically it's not like in the middle of the most hoppin' city. Like there's not like an Olympic sized figure skating rink in Times Square. Like they have to find a place that's kind of like vaguely suburban or industrial or outskirtsy or like on the edge-ish and like kind of more near like Market Basket than like City Hall. You know what I'm saying? So like most places are not going to be, they're not going to hit your ear and be like, oh yeah, let's go party. It's going to be like, where the hell is that? And why do I have to drive down 30 minutes of access road to get there? But it's because like, that's just where rinks are. So like, it's kind of just, it's a pet peeve of mine when people are like, what's in this town? I'm like, the rink is in that town. That's where they had to put it.
Yeah, because rink, like it's a big facility. It takes up a lot of real estate, literally to have it somewhere. Anyway, it was a nice, it was a good venue, and I'm excited to talk about the skating that happened there. We're keeping with our formula from last year, so we're gonna talk about the podium and maybe do some very quick shout outs.
Speaking of us being old, I think this is actually our third Grand Prix where we have stuck by this formula, like just
Jesus
to make us feel
Christ.
Old and terrible.
I don't want to.
But we could also frame it like being really, really proud because a lot of podcasts just don't live this long.
Yeah. Wow. We've done this for a hot second. Look at us. Look at us. We know what we're doing. Do you want to start with men?
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that. I'm like, ooh, surprise, gag. Okay.
I'm going to be so honest with you. The men's result table on Wikipedia is first.
This is how the sausage gets made, you guys. Like, this is how we make these pro decisions after 5 years in this business. This
also,
is how we
I
make these
like,
important calls.
I feel like I have more sidetrack things to say about women, so I can be more focused about men.
Before we begin with men and before we even talk about the podium, I would like to say Now more than ever, if you're, and I know we recorded like a little disclaimer, which like as of time of recording, we haven't done yet, but it will be at the front. You'll have already heard it. Now more than ever, I would just like to say that if you are going to be upset by me saying the word titty or talking about male titty in particular, you need to go. Like, this is, it's just not going to be a good experience for you. This is not the place for you. This is not the place for you. Because I wanted to say that, like, yes, we're putting people who didn't end up on the podium in Patreon, but in the same way that you could not contain so much male titty in this competition, I could not put all the titty behind a paywall. And I just wanted to say that this episode is dedicated to the male torso. The female torso, but like that's always true.
This episode is sponsored by the country of Latvia and its outstanding pecs.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll come back to that, I'm sure. But we just wanted to say, Dennis breasted boobily down the ice and we are all changed by it.
Oh God, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. He breasted boobily all the way up to ninth place. So he's gonna stay behind the paywall. But much like the titty, we had to keep some of it out there.
It can't be contained. Much like the titty, it can't be contained to Patreon or any earthly shirt.
And just like a tiny strip of nude elastic, it's just not enough.
Yeah, between the hair and the titties, like one little thing of elastic has never been enough for Dennis.
And you'd think he would have learned at this point, but apparently not.
Honestly, like, he's doing burlesque. And, like, again, I just, like, I can't stop talking about it. I'm sorry, we have to put it behind the paywall. But, like, the whole thing of, like, oh, will this thing hold, whether it's hair or shirt? Like, that's burlesque.
It is. That's, like, burlesque it's is elevating. All about the tease. Yeah. We can talk.
Show me your burlesque.
That is Vasiliev's burlesque program when?
The Sonia Samadurova School of Men's Figure Skating when?
Oh, God. Oh, simpler times. Anyway, so we have a podium, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of 2018 Skate America, damn.
Yeah. Jesus, that was ages ago. We've been doing this
for a
while.
We have a podium that happened now.
We have a podium. We have a podium that happened now. And I just want to say thank fucking goodness. Because for a second, I was so worried that I wasn't going to.
It was scary, y'all.
I will not be talking about the skater who ended up in fourth, but there is a very short minute there where I was like, if this person ends up on this podium, I will be flying to Texas to have words with someone, which I can't legally do, but
and I will say, like, because it's the first episode of the season, it might be worth, if we have new listeners, explaining that Russia is currently banned from the sport for, like, war crimes. And also they
child abuse.
Like child abuse, they should be banned for the child abuse. I think it's more the war crimes that did it, but it should be because of the cheating and the child abuse and all that. Okay, so we're glad about that. Not all Russian skaters suck, but a lot of the ones that were winning were doing so unfairly and whatever. So that's our stance on it. And honestly, before that, even the ban even happened, we stopped talking about them on the show because we were fucking sick of it. We didn't like their skating. We were sick of being gaslit into thinking they were the best. We were like, you know what? Let's not dignify this abuse with like pretending it's real coaching and talking about it on our show where we talk about real athletes. So I just want to point out that the ban is in place, right? But, and I will say her name one time, Ateri, the coach at Samba 70, one of the absolute worst, the worst, most abusive school culprit in question. She's still coaching some athletes from adjacent nations who are not technically banned. So, like, in this case, there was an athlete from, I want to say Georgia, right?
Yeah, it is Georgia.
You can tell that I was literally just leaving the room during it because I couldn't stomach it. But she's somehow still allowed at the events to accompany her students in the kiss and cry. They're still allowed to compete. Like, it's all horseshit. Everybody knows it. And it's not just us. It's professional athletes. It's competitors. It's coaches. Like, everybody is like, what the fuck is happening? So we have sort of extended our shadow ban / non-shadow ban of talking about Russian skaters to talking about anybody who skates under Ateri because it sucks. It sucks ass. And you can listen to our back catalog if you have questions about our more detailed and nuanced our opinions other than it sucks ass. But for now, I did want to catch you up.
That is my detailed and nuanced opinion is that it does suck ass.
I do have a master's degree in swearing.
Yeah. So anyway, this man the Georgian man almost ended up on this podium. And I was so scared for a second, because it's been so many years of this shit working out. I was terrified that he would have found a way to make it back to a podium. And it made me very upset before it happened. And then it didn't happen. And it didn't happen because Shun Sato ended up in bronze. He was fourth in the free and third in the short program. And the math, thankfully, thank goodness, worked out.
There was booing at her, which I loved. Sometimes a very bad Atari moment can give way to kind of a funny one, as we saw with little Sasha called her at the Olympics, which was still one of the better moments of my life, even though it was also one of the worst moments of my life. But I do love to see her being booed. And I, on the other hand, I'm a little concerned that it's somehow giving her power, like in a reverse Tinkerbell way. But like, whatever.
Some sort of like hate vampire, like an energy vampire.
Yes, exactly.
Can you tell that I've been rewatching What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah, maybe. Is that a thing in What We Do in the Shadows? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, there is a, it's a bunch of vampires, but one of them is just literally just an energy vampire.
Like, just a hater.
Yeah, just like he's kind of boring and talks a lot and saps people's energy.
That's definitely true. I think there probably was some sort of, hashtag I'm joking, but not 100% joking. There appears to have been some sort of pool of bonus points that generally gets spread out a little bit among her skaters, but because the field is so small of who's allowed now, this motherfucker just got like all of them, and it was very like,
Oh God, let's just talk about Shun and
Getting bogged down in my energy vampirism, because I've just accepted that I'm a hater, and that's fine. But
that is so acceptable. But I do want to talk about something that I've been very excited this season. Well, what we've seen from this season, we're back in an era of clapping and slapping. There is a bunch of it happening.
I am so thrilled. Like, I can't even tell you the amount of clapping and slapping we weren't having was really getting me down. And yeah, I feel it like feels like an important part of the sport.
Yeah, I feel like there was a moment around like 2019 maybe where we had a bunch of clapping and slapping, and I think some people were getting a bit tired of it. But now enough time has passed that at any time I see someone, and we'll talk about this more as we progress on this podium, anytime I see someone wearing a nice little red and black number, anytime I hear like a Liver Tango or like anything like that, I'm like, oh my God, we're back. We're so fucking back.
And I think that in general, it represents a willingness of a skater to try something new, because unless they're from Spain or Mexico or like somewhere where that's like part of the culture, which is sadly kind of a small chunk of the sport because of like money and colonization, all that stuff. I think it's generally a push out of the comfort zone for many people. And it's nice because it's a push out of the comfort zone that feels most of the time like respectful and not appropriative. You know what I mean? It feels like it's more about a dance tradition and less about like, let me just like do silly hands and be someone else's culture for 5 minutes.
Yep. Agreed. I mean, it's easier when you're not just borrowing from a culture, but actually working with a, like you said, like a dance tradition, which is like thought and studied all over the world. I think that's easier than just being like, I'm gonna be doing a massive quotations orient program or like something like that, because it's more about movement and dance traditions than it is about like, I'm gonna be doing a Spanish program.
Yeah. Can I just say, too, sidebar? So part of my new, I guess it's not really new anymore, but new-ish job is I work at a concert venue, and we had a flamenco group come through over the summer with a real flamenco dancer.
Oh,
and
sick.
It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. She was unbelievable. The musicians were unbelievable. And it gave me a whole new appreciation for the clapping and slapping program. Just like, I don't think I had ever seen flamenco dance live before. And it's really, truly amazing. And so it kind of, in some ways, it raised the bar for me of like what I expect from this kind of program. But also I want to say, like, we're also kind of like, I'm conflating flamenco and tango right now, which is like not correct, because we're talking about Shin Sato, who did Piazzolla, and Piazzolla wrote like tango music. It's like, I don't know, I'm not enough of a scholar to tell you in what way it's related, but it's you know.
I mean, they come from from similar origins, obviously different dance traditions. But yeah, in our world, it boils down to clapping and slapping programs, which I am very excited by. I thought both of his programs worked so well for him. I know, did you have some thoughts about his Four Seasons? Which Four Seasons was it that you hated?
Oh, was it his Four Seasons? Hold on, I'm looking at the short program. I have the Free Skate on a different page of notes. Is his Free Skate the Four Seasons?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I was underwhelmed by it, but I think it has a lot of potential, and I like the idea of him doing a Four Seasons. I think I've said this before, the Max Richter Four Seasons drives me nuts, kind of. Like,
yeah.
I like the idea of music in mixed meter, and I like the idea of, like, oh, we can take something that a famous composer has done and, like, remix it and do something interesting. Like, I'm not coming at it from a place of, like, Vivaldi is sacred. And,
yeah.
No, I'm certainly not, but I just think the execution in this particular attempt is poor, and I wish that skaters would stop doing it and just do the original because it's better. That's just my personal thing.
Yeah, no, I buy that. I think that's very, very real. Yeah, I think as of right now, his short program works for me more than his free, but obviously both of them are good enough to land him on a podium. It's good to see him back. Yeah, I'm just excited. It's always fun when it's so early in the season, because we haven't seen those people in, what, like 3 or 4 months. And I'm always like, I'm just excited to see where this goes, because it's so, like, this is just the start of the big, and obviously there's been like Challenger series and stuff since like August, but this is the first of the big international events, and it's always just exciting to see how things go from here.
It is, yeah. And a lot of ways we're seeing debuts of things. Like, they're new to us. Again, like, I'm sure a lot of you guys are watching, you know, probably in a more diehard fashion than we have time to right now. But, so none of this is new for a lot of y'all. But for me, it's like,
I purposefully, like, avoid things. I try not to. I mean, I follow, like, the results and stuff of Challenger series. But first of all, most of them are very hard to watch, which continues to be a problem in the sport. And secondly, mm-hmm. Because we make such a meal out of the Grand Prix, I usually try not to watch footage of people's programs until we get here, because it's exciting for me to be experiencing things for the first time in the context of the Grand Prix.
No, I agree with you. And I think that there is a certain level, aside from just being like, ugh, I have a day job now, I think that there is a certain level of that for me and how I've come to, like, consume the sport, because I agree. It's not only is it hard to find footage of Challenger series, it's also, I think it's hard to watch in that, like, it's always like, sometimes the footage is bad, sometimes the sound is bad, sometimes, you know, and it's like, I don't want my first introduction to, yeah, like, this unbelievable skater's new programs to be like grainy, bootleggy. You know what I mean? Maybe that's, yeah, like, that's not always been my opinion, but it is right now. And I think in the same way of like, oh, if my favorite show is coming back, you know, I could either be in a mood of like, I'm going to look at every teaser photo and every promo and read every interview and comb through for spoilers, versus sometimes I want to just be surprised. And so that's where I'm at right now. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I'm in 99% of cases, regardless of the medium, I'm very anti-spoilers, and I just like experiencing things for the element of surprise kind of thing. So this has been my first time seeing most of the things that we witnessed this week. And yeah.
Same. I think, well, I want to say about the Four Seasons, I think his costume is interesting, because a lot of times for Four Seasons, we see seasons as an outfit. This one is kind of no seasons. It's kind of giving like Byzantine automaton more than it is giving nature to me.
But I'm not elaborate. Mad at it. Please, I'm begging you, elaborate. Byzantine automaton is what you said?
Yeah, I just, like, when I first saw it, I was like, it's giving C-3PO, but, like, also vaguely, antiquity, like brass age kind of, like, you like old technology. It's giving when you're in a fantasy video game and then you go to like a rich kingdom and they have guards that are robots, but they're not robots because it's fantasy. It's not sci-fi. So they're like, oh, we are like,
oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this to me.
Peek behind the curtain, Netta and I and some of our friends have been having an ongoing, like, serious slash joking debate for months over the difference between fantasy and sci-fi. So I accidentally just brought it up on air. I'm so sorry. I will try to keep the private, but...
I am looking at this costume again. And first of all, I do want to say that there are several things I really like. I am obsessed with this trend, which I saw a bunch of in Ice Dance as well, where the bottom part of the men's torso part of the blouse is reminiscent of corsetry details. There were a bunch of those in Ice Dance. I will be doing like something about Ice Dance, maybe on Patreon, because I've been so excited by what we're seeing there. I'm not going to bring it up here, but we've seen a bunch of this trend of like the very structured, like corsetry kind of stripy things down the torso. Looking at this now again, first of all, my initial reaction was that I really liked it because I do enjoy the like earth tones and bronze and all of that. I think it's pretty. Two things. It does make him look like he has airbrushed titties.
It does. There were some airbrushed titties at this event, and in light of the real titties, it seemed like a palette comparison.
Yeah, but I will say I'm looking at like a close-up of it right now. It's gorgeously, gorgeously structured. It is so pretty. And it does make me dream of a world where I would see the rest of this costume and it would not be black pants.
Yeah. And I did see a little more this year of the other trend that I like in men's figure skating costumes, where details from the blouse migrate down onto the pants, like the pants are a little bit stoned or like a little bit embroidered. I want to see more of that. I think
we should go like fully back to the early 2000s and have more jumpsuits.
Yeah, we need like Johnny Wear Daisuke kind of costumes. And
I like that we started that. So this is not a Four Seasons costume and ended up here, because we all know the benchmark for a Four Seasons costume.
We do. And there was Stefan cosplay in other ways, just not in this way.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is that I didn't dislike it. I did like it. I thought it was actually like a really fresh take on Four Seasons. It was just striking to me because it was a fresh take and it was just different than like, I'm going to dress up as the seasoned winter or like all of them and some animals, you know? I think I also loved I will say in the music cut, it wasn't all just like the obvious, like,
yeah.
You know, it was some deep cuts in there. There were some Vivaldi Four Seasons deep cuts. And I appreciate that. I appreciate it when you take a piece of iconic music and you take moments from it that are not like just the bangers.
That is always exciting to me because I enjoy, and it didn't happen with like Four Seasons, but sometimes I'll be like, oh, what is this piece of music? And then I'm like, holy shit, this is whichever thing that everyone uses, but someone just picked the second 3 minutes out of it and not the first 3 minutes. That's always fun and exciting. I'm also just watching Shunskate now. I put on,
as you should be.
Also, I will say something that I would not have thought to say if I were not watching him skate right now. Have we talked about how this man launches 80% of his jumps straight at the boards?
Listen, the children long for the boards. They call to them. The pull of the boards was powerful at this event. The pull of the boards. It can't be denied.
His axle is just magnetic. Like, he looks like he wants to be landing it in the audience.
He's just being generous with his gift. He wants to share it. It's a 4D. It's a 4D movie.
I think we should introduce stage diving to figure skating.
Yeah. If any of you listeners can think of an example, I feel like this would be a thing that would happen at the gala. And or in a horrible accident. But if you can think of an intentional and successful and no one got hurt example of stage diving and figure skating, please let us know.
Yeah, I can think of like in galas, people entering from the audience. But I think launching yourself at the audience as if you're at a fucking Slipknot concert would be very funny.
I have seen people accidentally exit the ice, because I think in galas in particular, it's like, it's just a slippery floor, and then it just, yeah, like continues onto non-slippery floor. I've seen that happen and it's bad, but I mean more like choreographical.
I would enjoy it. I think, I don't know if there's a physical way to pull that off, but
listen, we have seen things that feel impossible to pull off, and we have seen them happen before our very eyes.
Yeah, I guess if you can do a quad axel, you can also stage dive. Should we talk about Kevin Amos?
Yeah, we should. We should. And yet, it's just silence. No,
because I just opened his ISU page, and I didn't realize that his short program music is called Bird Girl, but it's GERHL. And maybe it's because I'm a ESL speaker. I don't know what girl like that means. And I'm just assuming it's like a bird girl, you know, like a bird girl.
Wait a minute. Spell it for me again.
GERHL.
I don't think that means girl as in like the gender. Like there's no way. I've never seen that spelling. It has to mean something else. It has to be someone's name or like a type of bird. Right, there's no way that
we're
they mean like
being so
young
stupid.
Woman.
The thing is, this song
we
is
have
also,
to be smart like we always are.
This song is also listed as like bird girl. It is. I promise I'm not being deliberately stupid. This song talks about a person referred to as he who sees himself as a bird girl and wants to find his wing so he can fly high into the sky.
Oh my god, it's like that transgender chicken that's been going around Twitter.
What?
Okay, so there's a person on Twitter who, I can't remember who it is, but it's like a famous like Twitter person. They also have chickens, and one of the chickens just randomly decided to, like, or didn't decide, I don't know, just randomly grew feathers that were the plumage pattern of like the other sex of chicken, and it's just like this awesome trans chicken.
I support the trans chicken. Also, I'm trying to figure out why girl is spelled like that, and it's the only instance of the word girl spelled like that is in reference to this song. So I'm not stupid, I just hadn't seen this before. I'm guessing it's something to do with...
Well, have you seen a man who in his heart feels like a bird girl who wants to take to the sky before? Because
yeah,
maybe...
Yeah, I know a bunch of trans people.
Oh. Dude.
Sorry.
I can't even...
I didn't mean to... I did not mean to derail this so hard. I just wasn't sure if I, at 30 years of age, didn't know a word. Turns out, it's just a weird spelling.
No, I think at 30 years of age, you continue to know the English language better than me, a native speaker of 33. I think that's just, like, the case. So I have no idea. But anyway, Kevin is a complicated one to talk about because him and his coaches... I don't know to what degree. I think there's varying reports on how much he was involved or not involved with the bad shit that happened in his camp. It seems like likely that he probably knew or was complicit or something. But bad things happened in his camp. His coach is an evil person. And it's hard because he's doing things for the sport that are so amazing.
Yeah. Also, we gotta appreciate Kevin is one of the... few out queer skaters that we have. It has been so moving seeing with him, with Amber, the pride flags in the audience, like, gets to me every time. Especially, I mean, a comp that is in Texas having a bunch of pride flags in the audience, like, really, really got to me. We gotta appreciate that. We gotta appreciate that he's been, like, a very, like, out advocate. In addition to, you know, maybe being complicit in some terrible things. I mean, also, you're right. He has redefined a bunch of the artistic side of men's figure skating. Like, regardless of how much people like or don't like his style, I think people who don't like his style just don't fucking get it. But
I don't think I know anybody who doesn't like his style.
Oh, there's people who think he's doing too much acrobatics and all of that. But we see his influence so much in so many of the younger skaters and in just like this trend. Like, ever since his horns program, he's just been, you know, redefining and reimagining the way male figure skaters can move on the ice.
Yeah, to me, I think that he's up there with Johnny Weir as like a really iconic figure in the sport for honestly similar reasons, and also has done and said bad things. And yeah, is, like, multiple things can be true. That's like the craziest thing that people don't realize, but especially in figure skating, is that like two seemingly conflicting things can be true. Also, like, maybe a third thing. Who's to say? Go crazy. Lots of things can be true. One of the things that is true that I wanted to talk about.
The bedazzled shirt.
Yeah, the bedazzled shirt. I think, so here's what I want to say about Kevin, is that short program, Bird Girl, I do like it a little better now that I know that it has like a cool story. For me, I was a little bit like, this is a Kevin program. You know what I mean? It was a little bit like, this is what this man does. And it's amazing. And no one's doing it like him. But is he going to just do this forever? And then he busted out Bolero. And I like lost my ever loving mind. It was unbelievable.
I do want to say one thing about his Bird Girl. And it is that I'm obsessed with the blouse, unironically, because a male skating blouse does not need to have the illusion of brass straps built in. And yet it does. It looks like he's wearing a boat neck and then just like a casual tank top or a very nice sports bra underneath. And I appreciate the story that that's telling. But I do want to talk about Valero so much more. I couldn't not talk about this fucking insane blouse.
No, it's true. And it occurs to me that if the rule is like, over the course of two programs, you should have two shirts. I do think he averaged out to the right number. I think he had 1.5 and then like the other half was in the free skate. And that's, yeah. I respect that math. I respect a mathematician. That is girl math.
Boy math. Kevin Boy math.
It's Bird Girl math.
It is Bird Girl math. I am obsessed with the Bolero costume. Bolero is one of my favorite pieces of music. And I've talked about this before. I've talked about this weird childhood memory that I have of this video with a bunch of horses and the horses are running and the music in the back is Bolero. And I have no idea where that came from, but I have seen it as a child. And ever since then, Bolero has been just like so adventurous to me. And I just like in my child mind connected to just like open fields and freedom. And I know that's like not necessarily what it's about, but that's like always been my association. And speaking of red and black costumes, this black ombre going into the red gloves is genius. It's so good. It's so simple and it's so good.
It's unreal. It is so good. And like, I think it's a fairly new-ish costume because I was trying to find video of this program and all I could find was ones from like Challenger Series or earlier competitions this year, and it wasn't quite the same costume. So I do love the improvements that have been made. I love Bolero as well. And while I don't have a cool horse memory about it, I just like it. I think it's a cool piece of music from a, like, hello, I'm a music teacher and a person who studied music a lot perspective. I like a piece that really challenges you to like think about the interpretation and the build of it because it's a repetitive piece. It's long. It's a slog. If you've ever had, like, I've never played this, right? But we almost maybe were thinking of playing it in our orchestra last year. And so we had the music and I was like playing through it. And I was like, this is not technically challenging insofar as like the notes. It is a fucking marathon. And so it's stamina and it's also how do you build it and make a repetitive song interesting so that it's not just repetitive.
Yeah.
And I think the same principle applies to how do you choreograph this. And to me, I think that the fatal mistake of a Bolero program is too serious, like too drama. Like it's drama, but like it's not...
But it's
not
light,
overly serious.
Right? Yeah.
It's light. Yeah. It's fun. It's cheeky. And obviously the like D the benchmark for this is Torvald Dean's. I think that's like something we can pretty much all agree on. They got that it's playful and cheeky and weird. It's a weird song. There's weird like wah wah horns. Like Ravel wasn't out here being like, this is fucking the most serious courtly thing. Like he made it sassy, you know? And so I love that Kevin took it to a place of like, I'm a monster. I'm gnashing my teeth. I'm sexy. I'm doing all sorts of different weird things. It's a weird song. It's like a song for like a weird, like a prince or a princess or something who's just like got a weird fucking personality, you know?
I do want to talk about, yes, he is a prince with a weird personality. I do want to talk about some of the choreography choices. We are seeing a bunch of this trend of people getting right up into the judges' faces, which no one is ever going to do like Kaori. Like, no one's ever going to be threatening decapitation the way she did. But he finishes this program screaming in the judges' faces, like titties out, heaving at their faces. And obviously now when he was clearly about to get a Grand Prix medal and he had nailed it, it was great. But I couldn't help thinking, imagine the one time this program doesn't work out. And at the very end, you have to go to the judges and be like, yup. You know?
That's, yeah, damn. That's a...
It's so ballsy. It's so ballsy. I don't know how I feel about it. There's people, like, I've seen some takes on Twitter that are, like, very anti getting up into the judges' faces. I appreciate it. I think it's very, very brave. I recently, with my drag collective, led a 2-weekend workshop on drag performance. And I promise this is related. We were talking about like the different ways you can be on a stage in drag. And I was talking about how important it is for my drag character to be able to like connect to the audience. And I love getting in their faces. And I love, you know, a moment of singling out a person in the audience to make eye contact with. And then one of my colleagues talked about how he prefers, in some of his performances, like a very insular performance. And he was talking about how for him, sometimes it's a matter of, you know, he is doing the thing he needs to be doing. And whatever happens to the audience as a response is like a byproduct of that. And I think in figure skating, a lot of it is the latter. A lot of it is, I will be doing my thing and you're all just happen to be witnessing it. And that can be very, very powerful. But I think it's interesting to see some of the more visceral, like, I am doing this because I want you to be seeing me. And I am acknowledging that by getting up in the judges' faces. I don't know. I think it's an interesting dichotomy to consider.
Yeah. Hello. We met in theater school. Yeah. I think, yeah, no, it's true. I think there's varying levels of like, you know, I guess it's like, it's not exactly diegetic, non-diegetic. It's kind of similar though. It's like, is this something that we are witnessing and I'm putting on a story? Is it, I'm putting on a story, but in much the same way that like, you know, people doing like a live concert will break and engage the audience sometimes at points that we've all sort of deemed appropriate. Or is it like fully the whole time you're here with me? And I think that is, yeah, I think it's an underappreciated, underused aspect of like something like it's a parameter you can play with in choreography and in performance.
I just hope that it gets used like enough, but not overused, because if it becomes the new cartwheel, I will become bored of it.
Well, I think that I kind of came around on it, right? Because I would say that my initial exposure to this was that went back when it was like just one of a handful of random gimmicks that we saw like Sambo pulling out of their shitty bag of like, oh, I'm going to do like Marcel Marceau mime bullshit in front of the judges. I'm going to, you know, it's like if you just deploy it as like it's going to get talked about on Twitter or like it's going to make a weird little like news clip at the end of a segment on the Today Show or something, like that's transparent and people can tell. But if you're really using it as like, I want to explore this in an artistic way, like people are smart and they can tell the difference. And that's for me, like, I felt like it was more of an artistic thing of like, it's appropriate for this song. It's an interesting way to push this song and this skater and this moment. So that's the difference for me. So I don't know if I have an opinion on it, like, in general. I think it's case by case, but I think in this case it did work.
Agreed. Let's talk about our gold medalist.
Let's talk about the boy.
Undisputed. There is what, like a 20-point difference between him and Kevin. Ilya Malinin showed up to win and did win. I think he's done some interesting work over the summer. We didn't see a quad axle because he has decided to work on his PCS, which I respect. How do we feel? How do we feel?
I feel that... I guess I'll talk a little more about this when we talk about Isabeau as well. I think that they have sort of parallel trajectories. I think Ilya is a little further along, like maybe by like a year or so, in my mind, on the trajectory of going from, like, I don't know, like U.S. figure skating loves a little star. And like, I can't necessarily blame them for that just because I don't personally care for that narrative. But like, I get it from a marketing perspective. And I get it even if you're a person who just like thinks that that's cute and genuinely loves it. I think this idea of like, this is our next big star. They're 14. They just broke onto seniors. They're doing this amazing stuff. Like, I just generally don't care that much about that. And I think we all know. So yeah, the growth is important. I do think he's overscored. I mean, is U.S. overscoring its star man a new thing? No.
No, like, and it doesn't mean it's not
totally deserved. Yeah, we know. We know how we do. So yeah, it's silly. I think that PCS is being used in silly ways a little bit again, and it's a little more nuanced this time. PCS misuse too. This time, it's nuanced. It's like they're giving him a lot of credit for putting in some work, and it's not reflective of the product so much as like rewarding the effort.
Yeah.
Which like there has to be a better way than using the final product score to reward that. Do you know what I mean? Like, because the final product was good and the effort was amazing, and we do want to recognize the effort, but like you can't do that by saying the final product was better than it was, is my opinion.
Yeah, this score, he ended up with over 300 points, joined the very illustrious ranks of people who've done that. And I think I would have liked that at Worlds. I think I would have liked that at the Grand Prix final later in the season. I think it's a little bit insane to start there. I don't think we see the quality that you would need for this to be the thing.
Well, right. And if the point is, like, Ilya, take some time, focus on your PCS, then bring the quad axle back, the message we have now given him is, like, great, you've done it, bring it back. And I don't think he's there yet. I would have liked to see a whole season, you know? So we'll see. I'm curious to see whether he brings it back soon or not.
I would hope he waits. Like,
yeah, me too.
I think it would be a lot more interesting if we don't see it until nationals, the Grand Prix final, when he makes it, you know?
It would be a very interesting tool to have in his pocket to never say whether he's going to do it or not and just torture everyone for a year. That would be fun.
Edging with a quad axle.
I didn't say that, but, you know. I mean, it is an edge jump.
Jesus Christ. We're so back.
Anyway, that's our show. No, we're so back and that's our show, as are both correct responses. I think that his programs are cool, though. I like them. I thought that, you know, doing a Malagueña is good for him because it's like a warhorse, but it feels like a basic warhorse, like a fundamental warhorse.
Yeah.
Basic isn't the right word. Basic has negative connotations. Like fundamental. Like, and I was saying, like, I want him to do the fundamentals. I thought he is a little bit in a Carmen outfit for a Malagueña, but like whatever, that's splitting hairs.
It is red and black. He got that assignment, so I can't complain.
And it is a good fit for him because my only metric on whether you're allowed to skate to Malagueña is if your name scans to it, so that during the exciting part I can be like Ilya Malinin, Ilya Malinin, Ilya Malinin, Ilya Malinin, and it does. So that was good for me, and I liked it.
So it works.
Exactly. So he's allowed.
I'm happy to see him doing more quote-unquote traditional things because I've seen him do Euphoria and the weird things that he's done before, and I enjoyed that. I did find it funny that first of all, both of his programs, choreographed by the amazing Shailene Bourne, she can do very little wrong, and I enjoy the choreography effort that's been put into them. It is funny that his free skate is Succession, like music from Succession, which I haven't seen, because I don't care for shows where rich people are being mean to each other. But that's my personal opinion. He also hasn't seen it, and there was some interview, I can't remember where he was like, yeah, maybe at some point I'll watch Succession, which I think is so funny to put your entire season and to make it your free skate on something that you have no idea about the source material.
That's like relatable. I feel like I was in that headspace as a teen. I feel like now I wouldn't do it, but as a teen, that's just kind of bullshit you would do. I respect it.
Don't know, because like, obviously, I come from the theater, and it's always been the thing of, like, if you're going to do a monologue, you have to know the entire play. So I think I'm approaching that from that perspective of, like, when I was doing fucking monologues from As You Like It to audition for drama schools, I had to have read the whole play. So I'm like, read the play, watch Succession.
Yeah, I think I'm coming at it from a perspective of, like, I was always the person who knew I should be doing that, but also didn't because I had poor time management skills.
You're talented.
So, Netta, you're talented too. And if I have to have this conversation with you on air, I'm going to throw my mic into the sewer.
Okay, let's not. We can't expense a new microphone. Let's not do this.
It's true. I don't know if it's appropriate for him to see yet. I'm not sure. But
he's 18 years old.
Oh, he is? Okay. Then he probably knows what drugs and sex and stuff are and capitalism. So
also, he did fucking Euphoria last season.
Oh, that's true. Euphoria is probably way, like, sexier and hornier. Succession's not a very horny show.
Do we think he has a secret sponsorship from HBO?
I was going to say, like, he just has a HBO Max account. Or someone does. Someone on his team does. It's not him because he's not watching it, but...
Yeah,
and Shailene is just like, Shailene's an HBO girly.
Shailene is an HBO girly, and it's technically not crossing the Screen Actors Guild picket line to be to be doing, I guess, HBO.
Okay, but question programs. Then, if we continue along with this, what HBO shows will Ilya do next? Will he do Our Flag Means Death? Will he do fucking Last Week Tonight with John Oliver? Will he do Fiona and
Cake? I'm sorry. He can't do Our Flag Means Death because there's queer people on that show. I would have been remiss if I didn't make the joke.
No, that's his redemption arc. No, and like, as quickly...
He shows up, he's the like, blonde privileged one who shows up and is like, I didn't realize queer people had struggles.
Yes.
Full steed cosplay. I would support it.
Yeah, as succinctly as possible, I think, like, he said something stupid on the internet, and also it was really overblown, and it's really fucking stupid to equate that with, like, any of the other really bad stuff that's happening in the sport, when it, to me, was very clearly a self-deprecating joke that was really, like, yeah, poorly thought out. And also, this is a kid who is, like, almost certainly surrounded by queer people all the time, and I felt personally, like, as a queer person and as a person who... for a long time, like, thought I was straight and was just surrounded by queer people for no reason. I thought that it was, like, to me, it was really clear that it was the joke of somebody who has a million queer friends and hears them make jokes and made a joke and then was like, wait a minute, I'm straight. I can't say that. It was more that than, like, fucking Westboro Baptist Church to me.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyway, I thought that – I actually liked the Succession program. I thought it was funny that his shirt is the Stonks meme.
Oh, God. It is. It is. Oh, my God. Do you think that's as far as his Succession knowledge goes, is he knows it's vaguely about a business of some sort?
I hope he's seen the Demi Adejuyibe, like, Kiss from Daddy video. I think it would have been cool to put that in there, but, you know, whatever. I guess we can't have everything. I do think the music is – I will say this was an example of deep cuts were used, did not recognize it, the music, until the theme came in, even though I've seen the whole show multiple times. Love that show. And I think the music and the soundtrack for that is very, very good, and I think that it conveys the tone of the show well enough that it is a case of, like, I do think he kind of got it just from, like, hearing the music and the vibes of it.
I mean, it speaks to Shailene's choreographical skill, I guess, that he nailed it without having seen the show. I wouldn't know, because I'm on a scale from a Shailene who is an HBO girly to an Ilya who hasn't seen the show. I, again, have not seen the show, but
Yeah, I think it's well composed. Nicholas Bertel, I think, did the music. I don't know a lot about him. I just, you know, yes. I should probably as a music person, but I really liked it. I very much enjoyed the music in that show. I think it's a cool choice to skate to. I think more people should be having their ears and eyes out for cool scores of music and TV to, like, bring into yeah. the skating canon rather than just doing Gladiator again. What? That said, I did miss yeah. Gladiator.
No gladiators at this event.
Like, I felt that in my heart. But yes, gladiators
and women? Is that a transition?
All women are gladiators.
All women are gladiators. Women are my favorite guy.
Yes, I am a women. Girl.
Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true, etc. It is October. I am still thinking of DJ Crazy Times. I am allowed because I'm Eastern European and it spoke to my soul. Also European, half of this podium.
All right, let me turn the page and get to my women's notes, which are my women's notes on my pink page with my pink pen. Okay, but I did write it in pink, so I can't joke.
Before I talk to you about the podium, I do want to say that whatever we end up putting on Patreon, that's patreon.com/ICPod, will mostly be singing Amber Glenn's praises because she is a hometown queer icon. She fucking nailed it on home ice. She was second in the short and then unfortunately fifth in the free and ended up off the podium. However, she did land her triple axel in competition, and we're gonna talk so much more about that on the after show. And I just want to say that I just think women.
Yeah, if you love charismatic blondes who didn't podium but kind of stole the show, you're gonna love this bonus episode.
Yeah, it's gonna be all about that. The podium, though, we have Nina Petrokina from Estonia. It's one of those cases of where the math just ended up for her. She was ended up working out for her. She was fourth in the short and fourth in the free, but because the women meant a little bit, she ended up on the podium, and I think it was very well deserved. I do think that this is some of the most engaged skating I've seen from her. She's been a figure on, you know, the circuit for a while, and especially at Europeans and everything, but especially her free skate, I had never seen her this connected to her music and this, you know, engaged with her skating. And I thought that was very exciting and very fun because I do enjoy her skating.
Look, there were like a million taking us to the club programs at this event, which I was thrilled about. Unfortunately, I think that means that, like, you just have to be so poppin' to make it really memorable. And I think that I actually don't think that Nina's short was like the most poppin' of the club programs, but I think she took it there with her energy.
Yeah.
Because I think that I'd like to see a skater really fucking trying really hard. And, you know, call that engagement with the music or call that focus or whatever you want to call it. I think that skating is a tricky thing in that sometimes you can see someone trying really hard and it's off-putting. And a lot of the time, though, yeah. if you see someone trying really hard, it's like, yeah, thank you. Thank you. And that's how I feel with Nina. I'm like, thank you, girl. Like, you are here with us and you are trying the entire time and genuinely, like, makes it very fun for me to watch.
Agreed. I also think it's interesting that after her free skate in, like, the free zone, she or during the press conference, I'm not sure, she did say that she felt like she wasn't connecting as much as she would have liked to her music. And she was like, she was focused on the competition portion more than she was on kind of the emotion of it, which was interesting that she gave herself that feedback to me, because I remember tweeting about it and just being like, I've never seen her this connected. So it makes me excited to see where this goes as her season progresses, because if she's got more of this to give, I'm very, very excited to see that, in the coming months from
yeah,
her.
I really can't think of a time when a skater has decided, like, my focus is on connecting to the music and being engaged and really trying and putting my full effort in. And mm-hmm. where that hasn't resulted in a more enjoyable skate for me. There's definitely, like, probably people who disagree, but they're boring. They're boring. I'm sorry. Like, I would rather see a skater mess up their jumps because they were, like, feeling their yeah. fantasy. I would every time. We know this, so.
Agreed. I'm very excited. It's interesting because I mean, we all know that in terms of like Team Estonia, I have always enjoyed Devolata. And I think when Nina came onto the scene, I had like this thing of like, who is she and why is she like,
same,
you know, rivaling with my girly? And now I'm like, no, both of them can be good and enjoyable. And I didn't expect her to be a person I'm excited to see in competition just because, you know, because of that, those optics going in. And now I'm very excited.
I want for her what God has done for Luna.
Yeah. I think European figure skating deserves a bunch of fun things to happen, especially in the women's field, because my God, it's been a while. And I just think it's fun to see exciting European women's figure skating.
For real. Like, seriously.
Hey, let's talk about Isabeau.
Let's talk about Isabeau. Second place? Feels right to me.
Yeah, I'm... Frankly, and I'm going to be so honest here, I'm so grateful they didn't find a way for her to win this. There was a part of me going in which was like, there is a world in which the USFS math USFS is, and I would have felt insane. I'm still on the fence about this child. I do think she's very charming, and I do think she gives a good interview. And she obviously is appreciative of, you know, the rest of her team and the women who make the sport what it is and all of that. That being said, she and her team are, you know, enjoyers of the classical Russian school of figure skating, which makes me personally quite uncomfortable, and I don't know how I feel about it. So I'm waiting for her to win me over, and it's not working. And it's not working because of exactly what you said 5 minutes ago, which is sometimes it's cringy to see someone trying so hard. And I think with her, I get this vibe of, it's not even her trying so hard, it's her entire team trying so hard. And it's the, it feels like I'm being fed like fabricated moments of like something that I'm supposed to think is so, so, so special. And I'd rather have it happen organically. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And I think that seeing Isabeau, actually, to take it back to like day one of this podcast, seeing Isabeau's career so far has given me clarity on how I felt about Vincent, which is like sometimes a skater through no fault of their own is really intense. And also their team is trying really, really, really hard to make it something, like make it a thing. And that combination, it's so difficult to make it good for me. It's a little bit of the same thing for me. Also, I want to say, I think that we need to be conscious, not us per se, because we've had this conversation, but I think people in the sport in general need to be conscious of like, what do we mean when we say Russian school? What specifically do we mean? Are we using it as a euphemism for like being unbelievably strict to the point of like, are we using it for a euphemism? You know what I mean? Like, what does it mean? I feel like it covers a lot of things that we're all just kind of like, but like, it's true that specific phrase, like the Russian school, gets trotted out a lot around Isabeau as a way of being like, oh, well, you know, maybe we can have the best of both worlds. But to me, I'm like, I'm seeing my real critique about her skating is just that I don't like her technique. I think that I hate the way she bends over all the fucking way before she jumps. It drives me insane. And I can't believe she's getting like good execution points for that. I think her artistry is really good for where she's at, but I don't think it's like beating adults good. You know, I think it's another case of giving her lots and lots of points because she's really good for where she's at. We want to encourage her, but like, we have to remember that those points count for the same as like the points you gave Luna Hendricks for being like a fully fledged skater, you know?
Yeah, I think that covers basically all of how I feel about it. And I'm sorry. I know I talked about it so much on the Bird app, which is no longer a Bird app. Also not a bird, the white crow. Like, I hate this fucking dress. I hate it. I think it's so fucking bad. It looks like toilet paper. It looks like a trendy bridal bouquet that's gonna suck in like 3 years time when you look at your wedding pictures. It's giving the same thing her fucking big red flower gave last year. It's wearing her, it's weighing her down, and I would be so much more on her side and so much more charmed if it wasn't trying to be this whole fucking thing.
Exactly. No, and it's the same thing. It's like, I completely agree. I feel like I have yet to see her in a costume that's not too much costume for her. I think it's giving, like, when... I'm sorry if this is mean, but, like, you know when you go to a wedding and they've put the flower girl in something so absolutely, like, please think my child is cute? And it's like, your child is cute.
Yeah.
Like, you could have put them in a paper sack and it would have been cute. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't need to be, like, people have different tastes and that's fine. But I think specifically it's the thing of, like, dressing up your child to be the cutest thing ever when they already are, you know? And that's how I feel about Isabel. Like, just let her skate. She's good at skating. She's cute. She's charming. Like, it bothers me that there's so much thought not only into, like, how can we give her the most fucking costume, but also, like, I hate the snake thing. I hate it. I think, like, whatever we've talked about, like, vague orientalist King Tut hands, it's not cute and it's boring. But I think, although some of the snake choreography actually is kind of cool, albeit derivative of Maddie, it has to be said, I just am like, again, why are we giving her a thing? Like, why are we giving her a category or like a not everything? Can the category one time be she's good at skating?
Yeah, I don't even want to think about the short program because I don't like it. I don't like seeing a tiny little white girl doing any of this. It does feel like a Chuck Bates tribute program, but you're like a solo person and you're doing it in your living room because you don't have a partner because you're not a nice dancer. I think the snake arm is gimmicky. I just wish they would just let her skate.
Yeah.
I just think I would like to see her in two normal costumes. I was going to say dresses, not necessarily dresses. Just two normal costumes. Two good programs, no gimmick. I think it would be so much easier for me to buy it.
Yeah, there's a very subtle difference between I'm a really good skater and I'm going out here to skate as best as I can and to show what really good skating is like versus I'm a really good skater and I'm out here to show you everything that I do the best, better than everybody else. Like, it's very packaged. Like, I don't like that. Like, she skates like a ballerina. Let her just, like, have some cute ballerina moments. Don't make it like we have to show as much of this as possible because it's what sets her apart, because it's too much. It's giving Sambo 4,000 choreograph elements in under 1 second. Here's what I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's adorable. I love that she loves Amber. I love that Amber loves her. I think she's a good person, probably, because she likes Amber Glenn. Sure. Amber Glenn likes her. That's the only thing that she's I care about when it comes to judging whether you're a good person. She's a kid. I think that a gimmick in skating can be fun if you are deep in your career and you are doing the gimmick to set it apart from other things you have done, a la, like, Kevin Amos' Funny Bolero.
Yes.
I don't love it. Funny Bolero. Yeah. I don't love it when it's like your second season and you're doing it so you can stand out from the crowd. That to me is very transparent. Like, give yourself a very solid foundation of a great body of work and then try some gimmicks because you've earned it. That's my opinion. I feel like I've ended everything I've said today with that's my opinion. What if that's my catchphrase now? It's boring.
Oh, God,
as a catchphrase.
Please don't.
as my like Real Housewives intro.
That's my opinion. No. I don't know. I think that's my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. I think that Real Housewives have already decided that that's my opinion that matters.
Anyway, Luna Hendricks is living proof of what can happen for you if you have done a lot of great work, you have found your niche, you're a fucking diva, and you have a bunch of queer people on your team.
Yeah, I love that her whole thing, her whole brand, not out of a place of attempting to market it on purpose, but out of a place of genuine truth, her whole thing is, I'm the girl with the gay brother. I love it. Like, she's a hot girl with a gay brother.
Her whole thing is Wednesday night at the gay bar in a way which resonates with me so deeply, especially her free skate, because again, we had just seen Amber do her triple axel and then a little bit fall apart in the second half of her program, and I was experiencing the depth and breadth of human emotion, and then this little beautiful Belgian woman skates out and does a Break My Soul Madonna Vogue remix. And it is the experience of being at the gay bar and having just cried in the smoking area because, you know, life and your friends and whatever. And then Beyoncé comes out on, so you're like, whoa, shit, now I gotta go back to the dance floor and fucking pop off, I guess. She's so special. She's so special.
And it's because she's bringing something to that genre of, like, club girl program that... Because, okay, I love a club girl program. I almost never hate one. I pretty much like it every time. So I'm not saying don't do them. But I am saying a lot of the time, that is a choice that is made because it contrasts a previous season or two of pretty ballerina programs or classical series programs or whatever. It's often seen as, like, let's do something different. Like, let's have fun. Let's let loose. Let's bring out that side of you. Like, as a person who, I don't teach skating, but, like, I teach, you know, music, performance, blah, blah, blah. Like, that, for me, I'm thinking would be... in a lot of cases, a calculated choice of, like, this kid needs to let go a little bit or, like, needs to show some personality. Like, that's a great choice for somebody like that. But for Luna, it's refreshing to see her do that out of a place of, like, she's already there. It comes naturally to her and it's just fun.
Yeah, I just think it's so earnest as well, and it doesn't feel gimmicky. Her short program as well is... also awesome. I love that she continues bringing those little ballroom dance costumes that are barely there, and you can see her rib tattoos and everything. I just think it's fun. I just think it's fun and it's earnest. I would be remiss if I didn't say, you know, as the resident fucking queer performer on this show, stage performer, drag, whatever. Whatever she's doing is not voguing. It's great. It's not voguing. I am, again, not a ballroom person. I've only, you know, come in contact with that part of culture through a bunch of workshops with, like, some fantastic people. I've studied a bunch of Vogue Femme with Liomi in New York and everything, but I would never, ever, ever claim to be a ballroom performer. However, I have eyes, and I can very much tell you she's not voguing. But it's so fun that you can't be mad at her. It's like, it's so earnest, and it's giving, you know, the girls at the bar who just want to be a part of it, and it's not malicious, and it's not a mockery of Vogue, which is, again, a very black and brown queer art form, and we gotta appreciate where it comes from. But it's so fun and it's so earnest, and you can't be mad at when she's walking that fucking duck walk and it's, she's just skipping around, but it's so good.
It's not like Bachelorette Party at the Gay Bar cosplaying it for the night. And if there is any, I don't know her, I don't know what her knowledge of things is. If there is any lack of understanding of, like, this is a black and brown thing, this is the history, this is who's doing it, this is what defines it, it's not coming from a place of, like, willful ignorance. It's coming from a place of, like, just having a really open, good heart and, like, loving it.
Yeah, it feels good. It feels like watching it is not, like, problematic, you know?
Yes, exactly. And I think part of it is also just the amount of it in there. Like, it's not, sometimes people will throw in, like, a little, like, fucking ninja thing or, like, a little tiny, like, Vogue square around the face moment. Like, we saw that, some of that in this program. We saw a little bit of that in Ilya's Succession program. I think it was the Succession program. Like, I see you doing that a little bit. but I think that it's the commitment that Luna has. It's like, it's not just one thing. It's like a whole bunch of things. It's the whole thing. And I think that that matters to me more than, like, really good execution. It's the same way that we were saying that there feels like a difference between, like, a flamenco program that feels like a nod to the dance tradition versus a, like, you know, somebody going out and being like, I'm skating, like, Spanish fantasy and I'm dressed as a piñata. You know what I mean? Like, it's just ignorant and stupid and bad. I'm sorry I made up a racist example, but you know
what
I mean?
But that was the, like, point.
But that's the point. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm thrilled for her. She seemed so excited for this. It just feels good. And I'm excited. I hope her second Grand Prix assignment goes well. I would love to see her at the final. I think it would be so well earned. And yeah, I'm just very excited by this. I think it was deserved, and I'm happy with what we've seen so far.
Yeah, and people who, I think there were probably people who, toward the beginning of the Lunasance, were like, oh, well, this is just because, you know, XYZ person isn't competing or Russia's not here or whatever. And like, they are so like dead in the water with that argument right now. Like, she has proved it time and time and
She's
time
shown
again.
up. This was a very deep women's field. There's a lot of hard-hitting women in this entire like lineup of 12, and this is just how it shook out, and she just was the best. Yeah. And we're gonna talk about the rest of them because there were some people who we love seeing who didn't have the greatest time, and you know, other things that happened. We're gonna talk about all of that on Patreon. But this is the podiums. What else happened? Do you want to talk to me about plushies?
Of course I do. And it was a robust plushie corner, thank
Yeah, I will
goodness,
say
for the
American
season premiere.
audiences fucking show up with the plushies, and I always appreciate it. We had a bunch of friends of the pod tweeting, being like, hey, this was like the plushie I threw. And I found that so charming. And thank you for letting us know. Please always tell me if your stuff ends up spotted on the streams and we end up seeing it because it makes me happy.
Yeah, the correspondents on the ground were crucial this time because there were so many that I was like having trouble keeping track of them all, identifying them all. Like, God bless every skater who takes every plushie and shows it clearly in the kiss and cry. That is for me, so I can
Yes.
write down. So I will take you through a magical tour of Plushie Corner. Or as my, so I was watching a lot of this with my little nieces who are 4 and 6, and I told them, like, you guys have to tell me when you see the plushies, you have to tell me what they are. Because they know better than me anyway. They know what a squishmallow is and what a fucking lemon jelly cat thing is. And I don't know. So they know, and they told me, and it was very helpful, but they kept calling it doll time, which
I
was, I was
love
like, oh,
that.
it is cute. So they kept going, it's doll time. And then they had to look and tell me. So anyway, welcome to doll time. So there was a lot of unicorns this event. The first I saw was a giant pink unicorn given to Annika from Germany, I believe, in pairs, Annika Hawk. And then for the men, okay, so men's short. Max Naumov got a red strawberry hedgehog and a tiny bear, maybe a koala and a little dog. Vlad Lintvitsev. God, I gotta remember how to say everyone's names. Vlad Lintvitsev got a smaller unicorn. Nozomu got a fox or a bunny. Also, that thing was holding a pumpkin. Shin Sato got a raccoon or long cat, not sure, and a blue penguin situation, which Twitter user Nikita clarified, thank you, Nikita, that it is the Meiji University mascot. So it's like his school mascot. So that was cute.
I love that. I love that someone knew that in the audience and like brought it for him. I think that's very
Yeah,
sweet.
that's specific. Ilya got a plush soccer ball, which I thought was really funny. I don't know why. Is that a first for us? They're like, what do boys like? A sport. Different sport. I don't know. Okay, so that was the men's short. The women's short. Soyoung got a tiny bear. Shanyi got a panda, a chick, an egg on toast. And according to one of my nieces, something like a teddy bear, but it had eyes. So there's a lot to unpack there. but also a black cat and a flower. Squishmallow thing. Okay. Claire saw got a pumpkin bear and a giant blue thing that may have been a horse. We're not sure. Again, Twitter was helpful in helping me suss that out. Mana got a green squishmallow. Amber got a big, sleepy Pikachu and what I think was a Todoroki from My Hero Academia. Nina received what I think might have been a ninja in a plastic bag, as one does. Youngyu received a cat and a unicorn. Katya got a unicorn. Isabeau got a teddy bear. I don't know why I said it that way. Luna got a little unicorn and a pizza squishmallow. And then from the men's
Amazing.
three, I have Andreas. Wait, no, not Andreas. Torgshev received a giraffe. Max received a pink and blue tiny squishmallow jellyfish. Tatsuya received a scuba bear. Vlad received two unicorns in parentheses, tunicorns. Dennis, okay, this is. I wrote in my notebook, and I swear to God, I was talking about Plushie Corner, so just please give me the benefit of the doubt here. I have in my notebook written, Dennis, a vibrant fruit.
God, it's about the plushies.
It's about the plushies. It's all about the plushies. Shun Sato got a panda and Ilya got a green dinosaur. Oh, Young Yu got a little fire monster, which is very cute. And finally, please talk us through the most eventful thing that happened that wasn't a plushie in Plushie Corner.
Ekaterina Kurakova, a professional figure skater, Olympian, legend, icon, star, as she was skating off from her free skate, just fully ate shit, I think tripping over her toe picks because she was trying to collect as many plushies as humanly possible. And I just think it's so charming. It's like that one time when she fell on a loop and then she ended up doing a loop, like, as she was skating off. She always has, like, the most iconic ice exits. And also, it was so funny because she looked so surprised. Like, she got up and she was, like, just, like, this expression of, I can't believe this just happened to me. She's just the most charming. And it was just so funny to me. We have a long storied history of figure skaters who are so graceful on the ice, and then the second they have to just be walking, it's a mess. And it's always so, so funny. And yeah, it was one of those moments of like a big gasp and a big laugh from the audience, which I always love.
Yeah, and as the foremost people who have inventors of the rule set for Plushie Corner, rather than a 1-point deduction, falling during the plushie gathering time during doll time is actually a 20-point bonus. So Katya wins.
She wins. Katya wins 100%. Oh my God. And this is Skate America. We've done it.
This is Skate America.
This is Skate America.
Plushies in my area.
We are in Vancouver this week, as of time of recording. We'll be talking about it next week. What else? If you're listening and you're enjoying this, thank you so much for being here. We're thrilled to be back. Let us know. We are all over the internet. Icedpod.com is where you can find all of our links to places that may or may not exist in a couple of weeks. We're also here thanks to an incredible group, a growing group of people. Megan, do you want to tell me all about the runners-up in Plushie Corner, the dolls in Doll Time, our Patreon supporters.
Yes, thank you so much to the best people, our Patreon supporters, Richard, Michelle, Vicky, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Elizabeth, Elena, Skating Diaries, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Lily Putz, Bethany, Robin is Trans and Tired, Josiah, Sabrina, Magical Zebra in Winter, Alina, Margaret, Robert, Annie, Vox Machina, Samantha, Kieran, Sunny, Samira, Joseph, KM, Lucy, Jennifer, Jules, and Jordan. You guys are the best. And also, I want to say thank you for sticking around. I know, like, during the summer, we were sort of like on a little break, and we are back now. We're giving you all that bonus content that you pay for and love. And you have the backlog of however many years, like three, four years of Patreon now. Yeah, what Netta said, we're going to be doing bonus episodes during the Grand Prix series on just everybody that we didn't have time to talk about. And in general, we also do silly things that I think, you know, are spiraling. It may or may not be related to figure.
Yeah, we are spiraling. Thank you so much for being here. I hope everyone's, you know, staying safe and warm and enjoying their Halloween season. And we will see you on the formerly Bird app for some spooky Halloween-y Skate Canada coverage. And we'll see you back here next week.
Bye. Yay.
Bye.